It is a pleasure to be here. It is 3 o'clock and time for Arts Live and Local. Stay tuned. Let's get started with some music played by my first guest. And I want you to just listen to the tone, and then we'll find out why not only is it superlative music, but the tone is so special. Thanks for being here. Here's Larkin Stentz. With Larkin Stentz inside the Astoria Column playing. I like this. It's a brand new album, Flute Music Through Larkin. And Larkin's right here with me. So congratulations, Larkin.
Thank you.
This is gorgeous.
Oh, so, I'm honored. Thank you.
Very exciting. So
it was nice to hear the ships in there.
How did that happen?
Well, we went in around 9 o'clock at night and had the column was shut down and everything so that we could be there. And then they had told the police that we're okay there. We're not really breaking and entering or anything.
Who's the they? Did you have to get permission from?
Yeah, from the column, the Friends of the Column. Sherry, I think her name is, who's the general manager up there. And so we started setting up, and I would go up and down, and we'd try to figure out where the best place to play was, given recording. We ended up putting the recording engineer on the bottom floor as you come in, and then I was two flights up, which seemed to give the best resonance.
What was the challenge?
Having never done it before.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, what was happening that...
Well, it was interesting because I could play... I liked the second floor, but I wasn't hearing what he was hearing.
Ah, interesting.
So what you all are hearing on the recording is not what I heard because I was hearing what was right in front of me. You know, the sound sort of filling going out from me, and he was getting that 7-second delay. It's actually a 7-second delay. It's like you go, one, two, three, 7 seconds before it finally died out.
That's like those telephone connections from another country where you have to wait.
Yes.
Well, I just realized since we are broadcasting all over the world, let's tell folks what this means even inside the Astoria Column. What is the Astoria Column, and what made you decide to even try to create this sound?
Well, I have given many tours of the Astoria Column to friends that have come and to my interns and woofers from my farm. I've taken them up there, and it's about 150-foot tall obelisk, you might say, that you can climb up the inside of and get exhausted with 150-some-odd stairs. It's quite a nice challenge, but it has an incredible acoustic resonance to it because it's so large and so wide, and it's concrete. And
you
so
know, I haven't been there since they replaced the steps. I haven't climbed.
Yeah, it didn't change
same?
Anything.
Okay,
yeah.
So
just nice stairs now.
Folks need to know that it's
There's stairs that spiral all the way up,
and it's a pretty tight spiral actually. So if you are nervous about those things, going up is easy. You just hold on to the rail. Coming down can be a little daunting. And one of the beautiful ecological recycling things that happened in this town is that the old stairs ended up at the Fort George.
Some of them did.
So you can still walk up and down those old ones.
Yeah.
So
we started in around 9 o'clock at night, and we were getting reference sounds and everything to see how it would sound the best. And so I started playing, and then all of a sudden I heard him saying, stop, we can't do this, because we were starting to pick up hums and electrical noises. And it turns out there's electrical wiring all the way up the column, which is the emergency lights.
Oh, wow.
So we had to call Sherry in and say, you need to shut all the electricity off. So she got together with her husband, and they figured out how to shut all the electricity off. Luckily, our recording equipment was on battery power. But I was in total darkness up on the second layer, and I mean total, complete blackout.
So you weren't sitting on the stair. You were sitting on that little...
I was sitting on one of the platforms, the second floor platform,
In pitch black.
In pitch black.
Interesting.
And, so I started playing, and I didn't hear the boats that you hear on that cut that loudly. Mm-hmm. He did. Mm. And the recording equipment was real sensitive, so it was picking that up.
That's very sweet.
And that's the only cut of the 8 cuts that are on the album that has the actual boat horns on it.
Was it actually the first thing you recorded, or did you put it up front?
No, that was the first one. In fact, the recording is exactly as I played it that night. We didn't do anything except set the spacing in between the sounds. It's exactly as it came off.
A real experience of place, for sure. For sure. As a matter of fact, New Year's Eve, when all the boats call out to one another,
we record it,
and I played that last week.
Oh, cool.
As a welcome. Joanne got them going again. Okay, so now, why? You've been playing flute music for a long time, and we'll talk about that, but why did you What made you think about
even? About a year ago, I heard an interview between Sherry, who works with the Friends of the Column, and Donna Quinn about the column and about raising money.
Here on KMUN.
KMUN, yeah, about how to raise money, and they were going to plan this thing and that thing. And I thought, gosh, why don't I just offer to record an album and they could sell the album and make money that way. So it took me a long time, about 6 months, to finally get around to asking her, and she was all for the idea. And so we pulled it together, and then I pre-sold the album to raise the money to publish it. And we've already gone through the first 100. So I just had to reorder the second 100, which was really great.
Wonderful, wonderful. Now, why you're on here on this show is not just that you have a brand new album out, although that would be enough to celebrate, but you're giving a concert.
Yep.
On it's this Sunday from 2 to 4 at the McTavish Room in the Liberty Theater.
It's a CD release party fundraiser for the column. And I'll be playing some of the pieces with Tom Trudell, who's
wonderful.
A fabulous pianist, and I play with him quite regularly over in Long Beach.
And a former programmer here at Coast Community Radio.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah. So you'll be playing some from the album and then some other?
Well, it's be impossible to play from the album.
Yeah.
So what I am doing, though, I'm going to be using some technical wizardry to try to give people the experience of the column. So I'll have some electrically figured out delay systems to work with that. But
kind
mainly it's an opportunity
chamber.
To do a concert because people haven't heard me in a long time. I'll also be playing one piece on my hammer dulcimer called Infinite Heart, which people really love to hear.
Nice.
And then Tom and I will be doing our set kind of pieces, and just a wonderful afternoon, Sunday
afternoon
event.
Absolutely, 2 to 4 this Sunday. Now, I understand you did a Cloister recording back in 1986. What was that about? Was that also?
It was a similar kind of thing. I was doing a concert tour through Europe, and my agent said, you know, there's this great place out in Boxmeer, and it's an old cloister. You ought to go check it out.
What country are we talking?
We're talking about Holland, the Netherlands.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Boxmeer wasn't.
Yeah, sorry. And so I went out there and was just, just fell in love with the place. It was a nunnery, and it had only been open to the general public since 1950. So it had been closed for almost 300 years.
Wow.
And so I did a concert in there that year and just loved it. And then the following year, Michelle and I came back and we did a concert there and a recording that night. And
Do you still have that?
Oh, yeah. It's still available. It's called Blossom in a Storm.
Nice.
And it's the sound there was different than here. Here you get the kind of an echo. You get that 7-second delay. The cloister was built in such a way that it just
I see you expanding your arms.
Yeah, it just takes sound and exalts. That's the word. It exalts sound because it's made for the human voice singing. It's not a place to have a conversation.
Right, right.
And so whatever sound I would play, it would just take it and just, expand
magical.
On it.
Sure.
And one hammer dulcimer piece that I play, which is called Tribute to Sakharov, I can't play ever again. Because we recorded it that night, and it is so beautiful with that exaltation. I can't get my hammer dulcimer to ever play that way again.
And I know people play in some churches.
Yes.
For that reason, there's something in the construction and the openness, and of course the spirit in there as well. So.
Yeah, I was going to mention that. One of the things I was thinking about coming here today was that there are certain spaces as a flute player that when I blow. There are certain spaces that it's really hard to get a good note out of because the setup of the molecules of air, almost, you get what's called a back pressure. And some places I can blow very lightly and get the most beautiful tone because that back pressure of everything kind of set up, that's why domes are so good for that.
Yes.
You get that kind of back pressure that's marvelous. And other instruments have the same, seem to have the same response.
Nice. Yeah, you're making me think of in my friend's geodesic dome where you, if you close your eyes, you don't have a clue where the voice is coming from if someone's sitting in the middle and speaking out. So
I've got a dome over at Green Angel Gardens, and that happens in there.
Oh, that would be fun to do some music there and have everyone listening and with their eyes closed or something. So is there something that you would like to play us live now, a short piece?
I'll just give you a taste of improvisational me.
Okay, now just let me remind folks, this is Larkin Stentz on flute, and he will be playing at the McTavish Room at the Liberty, which is 12th and Commercial in Astoria, 2 to 4 p.m. this Sunday, and this is a benefit, a fundraiser for the restoration of the continued restoration of the Astoria Column.
And tickets will be available there as well as the album.
Right. Beautiful. Thank you so much, Larkin Stentz, this Sunday. And Tom Trudell will be playing on piano, accompanying Larkin's flute. And that's, you can call 503-325-5922, extension 55. That's the box office at the Liberty Theater. Or just show up on Sunday.
Thank you, Carol.
Thank you, and congratulations.
Bye.
Okay. And coming up is, just let me let you know what else is happening at on Sunday at the two of our local pubberies. What's that? Craft breweries, I guess is the word. The Fort George Brewery is featuring Cody Hoag. And she is known for American roots, swing, Opry, guitar. She plays guitar and banjo. And then the Seaside Brewing Company is featuring Two Long Sparks. That's T-O-O, 7:30 to 9:30. Well, I have some music here from another one of my favorite Pacific Northwest musicians, who is diverse to the ultimate, and that would be Anne Weiss, who is one of the featured folks at Winter Folk every year in Portland, which is a benefit for Sisters of the Road. She's done a lot of incredible political work, working on behalf of musicians trapped in various foreign countries like China and others. But her music is just unbelievable. She is a powerhouse. So let's hear one of her tunes, and then just let you know she does sing Balkan, folk, blues, gospel, and probably anything else you might want to hear. Anne Weiss, she is going to be at the Hoffman Center in Manzanita tomorrow evening at 7 p.m. This is Coast Community Radio. Thanks for being here.
Better come on. 'cause it's going to be raining outdoors. Raining.
Was Ann Weiss, and she again is going to be at the Hoffman in Manzanita tomorrow evening at 7. And you can catch her all over Portland and doing various and sundry good deeds as well as music. Well, my next guests I'll find out from them how I should even say this. I'm not even sure how to say it. What do you think? I mean, there's two people, but the name of the band is Two Crows Joy. So What do I do with that? Is it an is or an are?
I guess the band is an is.
Right. Okay. So Two Crows Joy is here in the studio, along with Jane Duncan and Russ Hosley, who happen to be the same. I want to play you a little bit from their brand new album. This seems to be a time of CD releases, which is so exciting. And so here they are, just a little bit, then we're going to talk. They've also got their instruments with them, and we'll get to meet them and know who they are.
Thank you. sitting in a corner booth, I belong, no one else around. Sipping on a bottle of beer, tequila on the side. I got up and I started to leave when she asked me for a ride. Took her to a destination. Sometimes in the dead of the night, I see a smiling face. Keep hearing that haunting voice whisper in my ear. Keep spending those lonely nights in that cafe.
That is some sound, and that is Two Crows Joy. Oh, maybe that's it. The crows are really, wow, they're out there. So Jane Duncan and Russ Hosley are here with me in the studio, and the exciting news is I didn't check with Russ, but Jane is a radio virgin. Congratulations. We're not going to ask you about the rest of your life. How about you, Russ? Have you been on radio before?
No, I've never been on
radio. Oh, my gosh. I have two virgins in the room. Have you two met? Oh, no. Never mind. Obviously, they have. And this is their CD release. As a matter of fact, it's not, is it? You know, you're getting it printed as we speak. Is that
printed
the idea?
Printed as we speak, yes. Wow. The digital distribution is in progress. It'll be out on iTunes on the 15th and Amazon and usual outlets. Right now you can get it, download it from our website.
Which is?
TwoCrowsJoyMusic.com.
And is that with the number two or the letter?
That's
or
spelled out.
Spelled out.
Spelled out,
that's
yeah.
what I was trying to say.
T-W-O.
T-W-O, Crow's Joy. Who are you? Where do you live? You've been making music for a long time together. What's the story?
I'll let you take that one.
we've been together for just probably year and a half.
Oh, really?
Playing music, yeah. And, but we've both played for years. I've been playing for 35 years. I started out playing rock and roll bands like most young guys. I was trying to get away from it. Your roots kind of show up eventually, don't they?
Hey, it's okay. We like rock and roll.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
And where did you grow up?
I grew up in Grand Ron, and I've been
Oregon.
I was 8 months old. And I moved there, so I've lived there almost all my life.
I'm feeling a touch of southern.
I don't know. No, they got that dialect out there.
Beautiful country, though.
It is really.
And now, where do you live?
I still live out in Grand Nan, believe it or not.
Okay.
Yeah, I travel back and forth from down here because we play mostly down here and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and yes, you did. You played at Cafe 101 on New Year's Eve, I see. So good. Mm-hmm. Jane, what's your story?
Oh, I grew up in Portland, and I started piano lessons at the age of 8. Wasn't my instrument. Played clarinet, wasn't my instrument. Picked up the guitar, and I didn't pick up a fiddle until about 10 years ago. I love it.
And you picked up the fiddle because?
My daughter asked for violin lessons, and I was standing in the shop waiting for her, looking at all those violins. I had to do it. I just had to do it.
Wow, and it felt good.
It's what I wanted to do.
Isn't that some? That is a very interesting story, because most of the musicians that come in started on piano and then maybe switch to violin. And guitar, of course, because you can play anything. But you went a rather circuitous route.
Yeah, you could call it that.
So this new album is called?
Hope and Truth and Dare.
Uh-huh.
It's a line from one of the tracks, a song called Out of My Mind. It's a favorite.
Are they all original?
They're all
original music. Is that what you mostly do when you play? Do you do covers as well sometimes?
When we're performing, yes, we do covers.
Yeah, if you have a 3-hour gig, I bet you have
Absolutely.
To do.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's 3 hours of material at least of his own. I mean, how long have you been writing?
Oh, since I was first started playing. I was 17 years old, I think I started playing, and I immediately started trying to write a song because I thought I could do that. You know?
Okay. So I'm wondering, though, in Grand Ronde, is that the town? Where is the town? I'm just realizing. We're not talking the river. We're talking the town.
Yeah. It's about halfway between Lincoln City and Salem.
Right.
So it's right on the highway there.
Okay. Yeah. I just realized I worked in the school there once, because at first I was picturing you out in Eastern Oregon, I'm thinking, what kind of available
Grand
venues?
Ronde Valley,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. But okay. But still, it's a small town.
Yes.
And yeah. It and still pretty country. So you've got your guitar and your fiddle here. Do you have something you want to play for us then?
Yeah, we picked one that's not on the album, but it's kind of indicative of stuff that we play.
So people are going to be able to hear you on January 31st at the Hoffman with Joe Rabeck, and then on Valentine's Day, February 14th, at Cafe 101. So, cool. Well, anything you want to tell us about this?
It's started out as a line that acquaintance always used to say, and so I kind of wrote about it. It's a true story written, it's always been a favorite. A lot of people really like it.
Great. Let's hear it.
Okay. It's called Sometimes I Dream. Right.
I'll go to church someday. People wonder if I'm okay. When I try to spread the word, well, I try to play my guitar. Sometimes I dream I'm a star. Let's fall into the earth, but don't tell my dad. It might make him sad. And if you don't understand, then you don't know the man. Out on that country highway, I might smile and look confused. Well, I'm just searching, you see, for a world where I can be free. I only hope I find it soon, but don't tell my dad. It might make him mad. And if you don't understand, you don't know the man.
That was wonderful. Beautiful. Beautiful.
Thank you.
You have a very resonant guitar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fairly new when I do. Uh-huh, I wore my other one out, actually.
Oh, I see. So
it's
between the guitar and how you play it.
I think it is.
Yeah. Yeah, because I was wanting to make sure we could hear your voice. I'm a big one for understanding the words of a song. I know rock and roll doesn't always put the stress on that, but for my own understanding, so that was and those were quite the words too.
Well,
I
you.
Appreciate that. When did you write that song?
I would say good 7-8 years ago, probably.
Right. Okay, so that means that Jane, did you know him then?
No. We actually met in. I guess it was June 2013.
Wow. Yeah. So you've learned a lot of new music to be playing together.
I have. And, you know, I'm probably his biggest fan.
Well, I think there'll be a lot of fans for the two of you.
Thank you.
That's Jane Duncan and Russ Hosley. And am I saying your name right?
Yes, you are.
Oh, good. Okay. Yeah. And the name of the band is Two Crows Joy, and you can find them at Two Crows Joy Music.com, where you can hear some of their music. And soon they will have a physical CD, but for now it is available. Am I right? It's
on
available
website,
on your website. So very exciting, the new album, Hope and Truth and Dare. Is this your first album together?
Yes,
it is.
Woo! Congratulations. So not only are you radio virgins, but you're CD virgins as well.
Yeah.
Album virgins.
Yes.
Wow, this is a big day for you guys. I know. Okay. Well, thank you so much for coming in. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
And I look forward to hearing you live in a whole concert sometime.
Thank you.
Good. Thanks
okay.
for having us.
You bet. Thank you. And I do have some more music, and then I have one more interview with Nick Napton. I want to play you a little bit from Moseley Water, and Yeah, I think he keeps it mysterious on purpose. If you've seen him before, he was at Kala. He's an artist, and he also is a poet, and so and a wonderful production. Tomorrow evening, he will be part of... tomorrow evening is Art Walk, isn't it? Is it? Yes, it is. And I've got all of the galleries lined up, including Imogen, where Nick is going to be. I'll tell you where that... what's going on everywhere. But at Kala, there will be Jason Graham, his artwork, and then after that, poet Jason Graham and electronic loop guitarist Colton Williams make up Mosley Water. Just say it a few times and you get it. And it's spelled Mosley Water at Kala. And so let's hear a little of Mosley Water, and then I'll tell you what else is going on and let you hear from Nick Napton, who is opening a gorgeous show. I just stopped by at Imogen and saw his new works, and it's very exciting. Thanks for being here, Coast Community Radio.
Writing, painting, and music.
As a chorus in the lead, metaphor, a dream was worth a thousand words. Flock of birds, stop the courage, learn to wish, wish to learn, lit up an excited soul like fire, let it burn. Jeopardize and ratify the ossify, believe. Then I be mostly water, holy, holy, sacred reef. Made a splash, made a splish. Those theories often change like a cross to a crisp, like the sake of a name. Now, everything and anything enough to render blame a thing. Tenderly, it's limited, my simply name a thing. Take a drum, take a wing, take a horn, take a beat. Sing a note, take a bow, take a note, take a knee. Now, every lesson learned like every pebble in the stream. The rock was once a dam and now it raises up the creek. From the underground to oversea and everything between. Fight all your life, you know we're on the same theme.
From the mountain to the fountain river, cut your deepest chord. Perspective is electric and experience support. A vehicle of vision and the variance of art. Craft a constant consolation that can move from here to earth.
Concretely constructed the column like ruins. Make Rubik's for my ears. Some would joy to call it music. Well, call it what you like. I'm sure it's here to service. So gravitate to Gramercy for those who haven't heard it. Blacklist it red hearted. This ain't better on the page. On the mark, on the sand, props, axes on the stage. Marquist says, and I truly believe. Ain't no better, better. Explain what you mean. There is faster, there is smarter, there is stronger, there is longer. There's a plethora of repertoire to choose it from the charter. But
all right, you're going to have to come tomorrow night to Kala and check out the rest of this. Let me tell you who else is going to be doing art. Tomorrow evening, La Luna Loca has Carrie J. Young with Monoprints. Lucy's Books has an author event with Andrea Larson Perez. Forsythia is Pat Fagerland. Old Town Framing, Danny Stevens Paintings. Riversea has a whole bunch of stuff. Close Encounters, Extraordinary Living with six Northwest artists. Chose a character to depict. And through surrounding environment. And they have ceramics from Pam Mummy and the Eight Deadly Sins and more. Tempo Gallery has their collective of artists. Laughing Duck Digital Pond, love the name. Tom Dickerson, Tattoos, and Catherine L. Metin with photographs of fishing. Rats and Company has Dave McMacken, who's the owner, his artwork. And Luminary is Work in Progress Studio Space. And the I do want to also wish everybody a good, happy Yena Year. It is the new year of the Berber people. Amazigh is the singular, and Imazigen is the plural for that, and you can look it all up. It's happening at Alberta Pub in Portland. Mo Alaleche is doing a concert on the 10th. Here's Nick Napton. Thanks. Well, I'm here in the studio with Nick Napton.
Hi.
Hi, Nick. It's great to have you here. And Nick has a show opening at Imogen Gallery in Astoria on January 10th for Art Walk. It will run until February 10th. And the name of the show is Flowers for Clementine, or Clementine, however you wish. And it's paintings, which most of us, or many of us who've been around for a while, have experienced from Nick. Although I learned that he used to do pottery as well back in his youth. And
yeah,
your
ceramics. It was
ceramics.
Involved, yeah.
Okay, so are these relatively new paintings?
Yes, they're all new. There's two large paintings that are sent over from Berlin that are at the gallery already. They're about a year old.
Okay.
A little bit old.
Large, what does that mean?
They're large. They're like 3.5 feet by 6 feet.
Oh, yeah.
And there's two of those ones. And all the ones that I'm sending over are brand new. So I've been getting paintings done really fast recently. So.
And your medium is?
I work with oils on canvas. Oil colors on canvas. On canvas, yeah.
Okay.
And most of the time I make my own stretcher bars and I go and get my own canvas and I make my own gessos and things like that. I've been working on smaller format for me, which is more like 1.5 by 2 feet kind of thing. There's still life paintings. I call them my flower paintings.
Yeah, that's...
And what it is I had a friend named Clementine, Clementine, and she would come all over to my studio all the time because she was doing a little video of me, doing some silkscreen printing work, and she makes these sort of trailer videos for every show that we do
at the
gallery that I work at. She does a little video, 2-minute video of the people and who are doing the show, and it's mostly all silkscreen printing. And she was often at my studio, and we'd have coffee, and I make her cappuccinos, and she was the one that was the most interested in my flower paintings, because a lot of people were kind of just like look past them and not think that that's they're kind of a little bit sort of, you know, not the avant-garde paintings.
Too pretty.
They're too pretty.
Yeah.
But I like doing that because it sort of pulls me into I get my kind of ground myself and find out where I am with my still life paintings. And so she was always the one that was very excited about them and would always come in before she'd do anything. She'd run into my studio to see if one was finished or if I was starting a new one. And
nice.
So I decided to call them Flowers for Clementine.
Clementine,
because I was always so impressed that she liked them and that interested.
So when you talk about a painting that's 6 feet, is that flowers?
No, no. Okay. Those the ones that are here are older ones and they're more abstract,
okay, abstract.
Sort of landscape paintings. I sort of went through this transition where I decided I was going to start working more on realistic paintings. But these are more typical of what I was doing in the past, the large experimental things with different types of medium and bigger format things that kind of take...
Days of... We kind of know them by name as well. So then when they don't come, then we'll go and try